This episode of Tech News Weekly is brought to you by Braintree. If you're working on a mobile app and searching for a simple payment solution, check out Braintree. With one simple integration, you can offer your customers every way to pay, period. To learn more and for your first $50,000 in transactions fee-free, go to braintreepayments.com/TNW.
Starting Tech News Weekly in 3, 2, 1.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Tech News Weekly. I'm your host, Andrew Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by the one, the only, John Bubb. How you doing, John?
Hello.
How's everything?
It's pretty good. How about you?
Not bad. Cooling down here. Beautiful fall day here in New York City.
You didn't catch that, did you?
Pretty
I just
good.
Did a whole Paul Theroux thing.
I know. Pretty good. That's it. Pretty good. It's always pretty good for that man. I was in the city every single day this week.
Sounds like fun.
Well, almost. I was in the city Monday. I was not in the city Tuesday. I was in the city Monday. I was in the city Tuesday. I was in the city Wednesday. Thursday, I was not, and today I'm not. But, I mean, 3 days in a row is tremendous for me to be going into Manhattan.
But you're also one of those people that doesn't like to leave your house.
I love leaving my house. I love going down the block to go drinking. That's what I like doing.
Yeah, but that's the only thing. You love to go out and drink.
Yes, I do.
If it's for anything else, you'd rather not leave your house.
That's absolutely true, actually. I'd rather not leave my house for anything else. A lot happening in technology. We're going to talk about the Microsoft product, some other news also. But before we do that, let's take a moment and talk about our sponsor, and that's Braintree. You've heard me talk about Braintree for the last God knows how many weeks. So many positive emails coming in, so much positive feedback coming in, and it's amazing to see how you guys are implementing this. And for what kind of applications? I just got a message from a friend of mine, very successful clothing designer here in New York City. I'm not going to mention who it is. And he just implemented Braintree on his mobile app because they've expanded tremendously. Currently, what they've been doing is they've been using PayPal for their payments, which Braintree is a PayPal company. So no knock at PayPal, but they've been doing PayPal for that. They've been even taking phone call credit card orders, which is totally separate. They're doing a separate web store for something else. So it was all over the place. Their entire implementation of payments was everywhere. Well, what did they do? They spoke to their developer after they heard me talk about Braintree. Braintreepayments.com/TNW. You get your first $50,000 in transaction fees for free. No fees. Fee free, guys. And that was a big pushing selling point for him. He's like, listen, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, no harm, no foul. It worked. Or it didn't work. But for him, luckily, this was the best thing he did. He implemented it. He's now accepting all different types of mobile payments, including Bitcoin, Apple Pay, PayPal, all different types of credit cards, all different types of currencies. And the thing that makes Braintree above the rest is their unbelievable fraud protection. They go based on a token system, John. I don't know if you're aware of how it works.
Yes.
Okay, you are. I know you are, because you're up on these things. They grow up based on a token system, so your payouts, the vendor never gets anything. I mean, it's just all there. They just pay it. They get a token, validates it. Everything goes through, so you don't have to worry about the vendor getting hacked in this case. Also, unbelievably fast payouts, and that means a lot when you're a business, and you want to get the money quickly. You don't want to sit there and wait, a tremendous period of time. BraintreePayments.com/TNW, your first $50,000 in transactions, fee-free. Go to BraintreePayments.com/TNW. We want to thank Braintree, obviously, for supporting TNW, and of course for supporting the rest of the GFK network. And also, guys, send me your emails. Whenever you have an experience like this, I really want to hear what it's like. I've gotten an unbelievable amount of positive feedback about Braintree over the last couple of weeks. I guess people are rocking and rolling. The holidays are coming up. They want to start working on their applications. They want to start working on easy payment methods to get paid out for their products that they're selling. BraintreePayments.com. I want to thank Braintree for supporting TNW. So, John, let's go right into it.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Here we go. The Microsoft event was this week in Manhattan in New York City. Paul was
Tuesday,
in town.
Wasn't it?
What was that?
It was Tuesday.
It was Tuesday. Paul was in town. Mary Jo obviously lives here. We got together afterwards. All the big name tech journalists were all here. Tom Warren was here. Daniel Rubino was here. Everybody was in town for this event. And you know, rightfully so, because it was a tremendous, tremendous event. They announced a multiple hardware products. Right. Surface Pro 4 was announced, which we'll go into. Surface Book was announced, which was a big one more thing. Lumia 950 and 950 XL, along with the Microsoft Band, and some updates to the HoloLens project. They demoed Project X-Ray, which was bizarre. Well, let's begin with the Surface Pro, John. The Surface Pro 4. It's obviously thinner at 8.4 millimeters. It sports a larger 12.3-inch display, something that a lot of people had wanted. Built for Windows 10, 30% faster than the Surface Pro 3, 50% faster than the MacBook Air. Starting price, $899, launches October 26th. $899 is a great price to begin with. And this is interesting. They're using a Core M3 chip for that. It's fanless. And there's a number of reasons why they're doing it. One of them is so you could have a very similar experience across every Surface Pro device, because it is, you know, a Pro device. So you could do things like Hyper-V if you needed to.
I understand that.
What do you think of this?
If they're going to call it a Pro device, then I think they have to have that across the entire configuration setup that they have for that.
Yeah. What do you make of this? I thought this was a very nice little, you know, it's minor improvements, but in the positive sense, the display is better, the video is better, everything is better.
Definitely. The fact that they have the 12.3-inch display, I think, adds a lot to it right there. Because you're talking about a Pro device. People don't want something that's going to be under 12 inches if it's a Pro device.
Oh, absolutely.
They want
absolutely.
Something that's going to have a large enough screen that they can work with. They can actually do work on. And this is something that I know you're familiar with. You generally do like smaller screens. But you know how hard it is if you're working on a smaller screen to have enough screen real estate to do whatever it is that you're looking to do.
Well, you know what it is? I am a fan of the 13, 14-inch screen. I'm not a fan of the 15-inch displays. I'm a fan of the 14-inch displays. But over the last couple of years, you know, we've seen things like the Dell XPS 13-inch and the Dell XPS 15-inch, and they're bezel-less. So the form factor is smaller, but the screen is larger, which I'm okay with. I'm fine with that. I just don't want this big, giant, clunky thing to move around with. The Surface Pro 4 gets the job done for a lot of people. The biggest improvement here is the keyboard. They have a new keyboard, and it's a truer keyboard in the traditional sense. It's not this crummy little, you know, flimsy thing. The keyboard is actually very well done.
Yeah.
Which is a major positive for a lot of people. I'm on the Microsoft side right here, $899. It starts with the Core M3. You're getting 4 gigs of RAM. You know, you could customize this to go up there in price, but $899, good start for this thing.
Yeah, I think that's a good starting price for something of a pro caliber device. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the issue is, you know,
We're not comparing this to an iPad, which is more of a casual consumer device. So I think it's fine if it starts off higher than what you would expect for something like an iPad. The iPad is great, but I think it's not a pro device.
It's not. And I know the argument for a lot of people is, well, it's becoming that, you know, with the iPad Pro, it's a bigger screen. You got the key.
We'll still have to wait and see how it actually performs out in the real world.
Yeah. I like this device a lot, John. I got to experience it a little bit.
I did it.
And very nice device. Very, very nice device. But I've always been a fan of the Surface lineup that they've had, the Surface Pros. Yeah, I've always liked it. It wasn't practical for me in any scenario.
I think they're figuring things out as they go. And these latest generations that they have for the Surface has improved significantly from where they were when they first debuted with the Surface devices. And something like the Surface RT, which was really bad, to say the least. I mean, I don't know how else to put it other than Surface RT was not a good product.
Surface RT was a horrible product with good intentions, but it was just
but
they've
definitely learned a number of lessons.
Yeah, listen, this is
not
an iPad.
Surface Pro 4 has culminated in a lot of those lessons being learned, and they've fixed a lot of those problems.
I don't understand. So QNX Monkey in our chat room, and he brings up a good point. How is the iPad Pro even close to a full productivity, you know, OS, you know, full-fledged productivity? You want to get stuff done. You want to do true multitasking. It's not that device. So I'm curious on who they're going to market, who they're going to target with this device.
I think part of that is the same people that they target with other Apple premium products.
Cool people.
Yeah, the creative type.
Yeah, well.
People that do Adobe Photoshop, Adobe Premiere, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't know how. I think this device for $899, I would much rather have that than the iPad Pro.
I think you do have that difference between the iPad Pro and people that are interested in a Surface Pro. I think you have two different types of people there, which is the same as what you see with Mac and PC, where people that use a PC use it more or less as a workstation to get work done with Microsoft products, whereas with Mac products, you're more talking about people that use Adobe Photoshop, Adobe family of products, and that sort of thing.
Yeah. So I'm looking here on their website. $899 starting price. This is a very good entry level into this thing. But here's my question. You know where I cannot use this product? Sitting in my off, like in my bedrooms with the laptop on my lap. It's still flimsy to me. It still doesn't feel proper having it on my lap.
I think that's partly due to you being used to a laptop, though.
Yeah, but I mean, for a lot of people, this is a laptop replacement, right? This is what they are.
Well, that's what Microsoft has been saying, that it's a laptop replacement.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean it is. Well, and it doesn't mean it works the same way as a laptop.
But nice little device here. They've done really well with this. John, you want to go into the big one more thing that they announced, and that was Surface Book.
Speaking of laptops, Microsoft pulled a surprise and announced the Surface Book, which is what they're calling the ultimate laptop. It has a 13.5-inch display, a 6th-generation Intel Core processor, up to 16 gigabytes of RAM, and they claim it has a 12-hour battery life. And what makes this interesting is that in the keyboard is separate from the Surface display part. It's basically a tablet with a keyboard, not in the sense that you would see with the Surface Pro 4, but it's built and designed to work together more as a laptop than it is a Surface tablet and a separate keyboard.
Yeah, so you can see here.
So the keyboard portion houses an NVIDIA GPU if you go for the more expensive configuration.
Yeah, this was a nice little surprise. You know, some people knew about this. Paul, I believe, had written about it a couple days prior. You know, but I think the surprise here was that it's a tablet also. It detaches from the base. I think that's what a lot of people were shocked at. You know, with the initial video, you know, a lot of people were looking at it. They're like, oh, they finally did it. They finally built the Surface Book. You know, it's a nice looking device. It's all right. It's fine. The only thing here is the hinge is a little weird, and the pricing. It's very expensive.
Yeah, it launches October 26th, and it starts at $14.99 for the base model, which is 128 gigabyte storage and 8 gigabytes and a Core i5 with Intel HD graphics. But it goes all the way up to $26.99, which will get you 512 gigabytes of storage, 16 gigabytes of RAM, an i7, and the NVIDIA GPU. So you're starting out at $14.99 for this thing.
And it, yeah, so
which is not a cheap laptop at
it's not.
All,
so if I went with,
means,
if I went,
there's tons of laptops you can get out there for $4.99.
If I went with the accelerated graphics, for example, I'm at $1,900.
Mm-hmm.
If I went with 16 gigs, I'd be at $2,700 for this device.
That's insane.
That's a lot of money. I understand
that's
insane. And I've seen the comparison with Macs. People are drawing a comparison with a Mac. Well, if you built the highest end Mac, it's going to cost you $3,100. Well, wait a minute. No, it's not, because you have to compare apples to apples here. Let's spec it out the same. It's around the same price.
Mm-hmm.
It's around the same price at the end. And forget, you know, Macs aren't touchscreen. I get it. So you're paying a little bit more for that. At the end, it comes out about the same with the pricing. This whole premium, Macs are a premium. I've been doing a lot of research on the pricing over the last couple of weeks. And maybe it's $100 more. Maybe it's a couple. Like, it's very close. There's not this tremendous gap. It's not like you're saying, well, I could buy the PC for $750 when a Mac is going to cost me $1,500. That's only true when you compare, you know, the body. I'm not talking specs. I'm talking exact class. I'm talking, you know, the aesthetics of it as well.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the specs and everything, and it looks great, but just that entry.
And listen, and here's the other thing, guys. Here's the other thing. People talk about crapware all the time. Well, this is the reason why PC manufacturers have all that crapware on their PCs.
But you don't think that Microsoft could figure out a way to make it cheaper?
I don't think they want
to. Cutting out a lot of people in the middle. You don't have to go through the OEM. You don't have to license stuff from Microsoft. Microsoft can just give it away for free.
Well, it depends what you mean by that. So when we look at the price of this, and we look at, you know, 256 i7 with 8 gigs of RAM for a similar laptop. Let me go here, actually.
And these specs, to me, aren't all that much different from the Surface Pro 4.
I would say, look
at it on paper, it's got a lot of similarities between the two.
You're talking about $200 to $300 premium on this device.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just guessing right now. I'm not even looking at what Lenovo's doing or Dell is doing from the last couple of weeks that I've been looking up. Yeah, that's going to exist because A, they cannot subsidize the cost of the hardware based on, you know, based on crapware. They're not putting crapware, so you're going to pay a premium.
Sure, but
that's what happens.
I think part of the difference is that with the Surface Book, it comes with the keyboard already.
Yeah.
Whereas the Surface Pro 4, you have to buy that separately.
And it comes with the
if you're buying it separately, you're already adding another $130.
Yeah.
At that point, they're both very identical devices almost.
Now listen,
I'm trying to figure out what the difference is between the two devices and whom they're for.
That's a very good question. So who are they targeting? They're both very similar.
I don't know who this device is for. I know it's for people that like laptops and stuff, but I just don't see that much of a difference between the Surface Pro 4 and the Surface Book.
That's a very good question.
You can do a lot of the same things with both of them.
Do they both have Pixel Sense? Yeah, they do. They both have Pixel Sense.
I mean, I might be wrong in all this, but I don't think Microsoft has explained the difference and who these devices are very clearly.
Yeah.
I mean, who are these devices for? Who is going to go out there and buy a Surface Pro 4? This is something I've seen as a problem with Microsoft with this entire Surface line, is that I don't think they have ever clearly explained who they intend for these devices to have. You know what I'm saying? Who is going to go out there and buy this? Who are they expecting to buy this?
Okay, so I'm going to build a computer here on Apple's website, okay? I think what they're doing here is they're trying to just build a premium device. And again, it's a reference point. And we saw what happened the last time they built the Surface. Everybody's now has a Surface clone. Everybody. So for Microsoft, this is another way to get the OEMs to do what they want, one. Number two, they are selling this as a premium device. They're targeting the higher end PC market, which is not many people. But if they're not mass producing this thing and they're selling out every single one, you know what? It's a profitable thing. They're already very satisfied with the pre-orders. The pre-orders have been sky high. So there is a group that's interested in this, and I think it's the diehards. I think it's the same people that go and they buy the highest end MacBooks. Yeah, let's build out. I'm going to build one out here, okay? Are you ready?
Go for it.
So let's do we're doing an i7.
And I just would never.
Okay,
I couldn't even afford it, quite frankly.
So an i7 MacBook 13-inch Retina. Okay? 16 gigs, 256 hard drive. I'm looking at $1,900.
That's just insane.
I don't have that up. So if I did 256 with 8 gigs on this, it's $2,000. So it's the same price. So let's do 512 memory, all right? Let's go to 512.
The price, to me, is the biggest problem. You have the two problems here is one, who is this for? And two,
yeah, guess what,
it
John?
Costs a lot.
Guess what? It's still cheaper on the Mac side. 512 storage is $21.99. On this device, it's $26.99.
Yeah.
It's $500 more than its Mac counterpart, technically.
And they claim it's 50% faster than a MacBook Air.
But why would you compare this to a MacBook Air?
That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, let's compare
don't
to,
see this in the same class as a MacBook
Air.
Okay,
so let's compare
this. I think they're
different
devices.
Okay, so that brings up a good thing. Let's do this now. Let's go to Apple's website and compare it to a MacBook
Air. They're different form factors. Yes, it's technically a laptop, but it's a radically different design.
It's a touch screen. So let's look at the MacBook Air, okay? 11-inch, I forget about the 13-inch MacBook Air. Select the highest-end one. So it's an i7. You could only do 8 gigs. You could do 512. I'm at the highest-end MacBook Air, and I'm at $1,749. I think they compared it to the MacBook Pro, and the other one is compared to the MacBook Air, John. The Pro, the Surface Pro 4.
Mm.
Either way,
yeah,
it is more money than a Mac. And I get it. This is the first generation device. I do expect there to be a price drop. I also do expect them to make a lower end machine if depending on how well the sales do on this. The sales do really well, then they realize that they have a market here for Microsoft branded hardware that people really want. So they probably will make one that's, you know, non-touch.
But see, here's the thing is that they know they have a market for lower end devices. All the crappy Lumias that they've put out
OEMs.
In the past 2 years.
They don't want to upset the OEMs.
In other countries. That's been their bread and butter for that product line. And I don't think they can... I still don't think they can do that here. I think the market is a lower-cost market.
Yeah, because they want to
compare
it to
the... I don't think that market for very expensive... premium devices like this is very large.
Yeah, they're not looking to do that because they don't want to upset OEMs. This is a way for them to keep the OEMs happy because they price themselves out of competition. They're not competing with the Dells and the HPs. This is how they keep everybody happy. Well, listen, look, you guys could do whatever you want, but look how expensive our product is. We're not really, we're pricing ourselves out.
If Apple had a lower cost entry to barrier, wouldn't their market share be larger? If they could sell things cheaper, more people would be interested in Mac products, in my opinion. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm looking here at this Dell.
I'm cheap. What can I say?
Okay. The Dell XPS 15, which is their latest version, 16 gigs, 512, touch. And that's $1,800. To be honest, I think I would rather have the Dell than this.
It still seems expensive to me.
That's how much Macs are. That's how much all this stuff is. You want a premium laptop? You're paying now. Or you could go and get a Toshiba or a lower-end Asus and just have that and be happy with that, which most people are totally satisfied with that. They don't need to go to the highest end.
Yeah,
they're not doing anything that's necessary. You don't need the highest end i7 on a Mac, on a Mac or on a PC. You can be fine with an i5, and you're more than happy. Everything works.
Yeah,
yeah. All right, John. What else did we have announced?
They officially announced the Lumia 950 and 950 XL, which everybody already knows everything about it. So just to recap, the 950 XL is 5.7-inch screen size. 32 gigabyte storage, which is expandable with a micro SD card, and theoretically all the way up to 2 terabytes with a micro SD card.
Hmm.
20 megapixel camera with Zeiss lens and image stabilization, which is awesome. It's got a dedicated camera bun, which is interesting. 2 gigahertz Qualcomm Snapdragon 810 octa-core processor with, I think this is kind of a marketing gimmick, liquid cooling. And it launches in November for $649. And the 950 has similar specs, but it has a 5.2-inch screen and launches for $549.
Interesting. So what do you like? Which one do you like there?
You know, they're both very similar. The 950 has a little bit slower processor, but That's just a given because it's a different class device than the XL. I don't think you could go wrong with either one of those devices in terms of hardware. My only concern is the fact that it's a Windows phone.
Yeah.
And Microsoft has not been that great with Windows phones lately.
So the
fact that it's taken us, you know, 2-3 years to get a decent flagship again on Windows.
Yeah. So I do like the XL. I think that's going to be the one. $649 out of pocket, obviously, if you buy it through Microsoft. AT&T will be carrying this and most likely will be subsidizing it to an affordable rate where most people will be very satisfied with it. But everything looks great on this. It's a very, very good phone. It's just, will people buy it? I think the same people that are buying Windows Phone now will go out and buy this.
I think you're going to find a lot of people buying this. I think Microsoft kind of screwed themselves by taking so long to launch these products.
Well, you know what?
They're in the same boat as BlackBerry.
But maybe this
really
is what
do. It's something that they're going to continue to try and push on for the next 2, 3, 4 years, but I don't see this lasting.
I think this lasts in the sense that they're keeping people on their platform and it overall, they're covering all their grounds. You know, you have a Windows phone. They're trying to build a smaller ecosystem. Yeah, it's always going to be small. They're never going to be one or two, but they could get in, you know, almost double digits. But internationally, they're doing pretty decent. I mean, I could tell you markets that they're doing very well.
If I buy one of these, and in this day and age, people, especially enthusiasts, want to upgrade their device every single year.
Yeah.
Microsoft is not going to do that. They haven't done that, and they haven't proved they can do that.
Yeah.
So it's going to be 2-3 years before they have another flagship device.
I think that's going to change now. We also have to remember that Windows 10 was coming.
They don't have the ability to do that. I'd be surprised if they did.
I think they're going to be having
minimum
a flagship
2 years.
Year. You think
minimum?
I think
minimum
every year.
2 years before they have a new flagship device.
All right, I think every year. Let's count the day. It's October 9th.
I think they need to do it every year.
Yeah. It's October 9th.
To keep up with perceptions. And the problem is that they took so long to get these devices out that their perception is shot.
Yeah. I agree with you. I don't know. We'll see how well these do, and we'll see what happens with this. But I think they are in a weird position with Windows Phone right now.
Oh, absolutely. I just see them in the same boat as BlackBerry.
Yeah,
they have such a perception problem that even if they have these devices on every single carrier, they have them priced just right. I still don't see it doing well.
Yeah. They also announced
they shot themselves in the foot by taking so long. And part of that, I think, is they botched Windows 8 so much.
That hurt them, yeah. It hurt them a lot.
It also hurt Windows Phone.
Well, it hurt the momentum that they had. You know, the Windows Phone was an interesting thing, and then everything kind of fell apart with Windows 8. So they've been in this rebuilding phase. But it's a different approach. They have a very
Windows
different approach to mobile.
Is largely more successful. But yeah. I still don't see it having the same success as Windows 7. I think there's a lot of things.
With Windows 10, you mean? With Windows
10?
You're saying Windows 10 won't have the same large scale success as Windows 7? I think it'll probably blow
not at
away.
At the moment, it hasn't.
110 million users.
I think there's a lot of little things. And I know people in the chat room will agree with me on some of those things that Windows 10 just doesn't offer just what they want, and they can do it with Windows 7.
Yeah, you're always going to have that. I think for the mainstream, though, when you look at mainstream at a adoption rate, you're looking at 110 million people in a very short period of time. They've done a tremendous job in moving people over. The story of Windows 10 is going to
be exactly what Curtis B said in chat room. They pulled a web OS. Great technology, very promising. Didn't follow up enough.
Yeah, no, I agree with you with the phone. I totally agree with you on the phone. But as far as desktop goes, Windows 10 is the best version of Windows that they've ever made. It makes the most sense for most people. Yeah, there's going to be that small minority of people that have very specific software and hardware that they need to stick to Windows 7 or whatever. But we have to remember...
Why would you go... The only reason you would go with a Windows phone is that you're a Microsoft enthusiast, that you want to stay in the Microsoft ecosystem completely.
That's the
only reason you would buy a Windows phone.
A Windows flagship phone. Or
any Windows phone.
I don't know. No, John, I'm telling you. You walk into a store and they have those like Those $40, $50 phones, prepaid phones, they're selling a tremendous amount of those lower-end phones. And those are people that don't care what they're buying. You know what they're doing? They're seeing Microsoft, so they're buying it because they recognize the brand.
No, there's way more choices besides Microsoft out there in terms of
lower-end prepaid?
US market.
Lower-end prepaid.
Yeah. How many choices do you have? One, maybe two? Microsoft devices in the low-end range?
Yeah, but I'm saying the majority of the phones that they're selling are not the higher end; they're the lower end phones.
Sure,
because of that reason.
People that are buying phones regularly, the people that buy a phone every single year or every 2 years, they're just not going to be interested in this compared to iPhone and Android, where they can get the latest and greatest every single year.
Because there's no reason to go to Windows. It is so hard now. We're neck deep in the ecosystems at this point where we're not jumping ship. People are just not jumping ship like they were.
But I think it's more than just the ecosystem.
You know, okay, so here's a great, I want this statistic, okay? How many people actually jump ship from Android to iPhone, then back to Android? That is not something that normally happens. For most people, you stick to one platform, you're satisfied with it, and that's what you're using for the rest of, whatever.
I think there's more people out there than you think that do that.
That jump ship?
Yeah.
I call them crazies. That's what I call them. No, I don't think it's as big as people think. So for Windows Phone to come into a market that's already matured and say, okay, well, this is what we're gonna put out a phone. Okay, but let's say we're Windows Phone, right? We're gonna put out this flagship phone. We're gonna put it on the market. The uphill battle is, one, we have to educate people that are using of what this phone is. Two, we have to bring Android users. Three, we have to convince iPhone users. Why would they go? Why would they go to Windows Phone? What benefit is there to go to Windows Phone for these users?
That's my entire point, is that Microsoft is not doing that.
There's no reason for these people to go over.
No.
I can't think of one positive for the average person. And I'm not talking about us. You know, I may like the UI a little bit more. I may know that the camera is a little bit better. I may, be a OneDrive fan, and that may be the reason why I'm going over. I don't understand. If I'm an average user, I walk into a store, and everybody I know has an iPhone. Why would I go and pick up a Windows phone if everyone in my family has an iPhone? Which is most people. I'm the anomaly.
It's a good
device, Android phone.
Except that they just don't market it very well, and they don't back it up very well.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something, John.
That's typical Microsoft.
We talk about how Android has a huge market share now. Can I tell you, I don't know one person in my family that has an Android phone. My brother has one because he was cheap and he didn't want to get an iPhone. That's one.
That's why people buy
Android.
That's
one. But 90% of my relatives all have iPhones. Almost everybody. And there's a reason why they have it. Because it's easy to use. They understand it. They know it's a premium device. And everybody else in the family has it. So that's what they buy.
Yeah.
It's not... I'm not... You think Cousin Tommy's going to go into to Verizon or AT&T when his contract is up and say, you know what? I'm going to be different. I'm going to go buy a Windows phone.
When you have both Android and iPhone, which are the top two smartphones out there, coming out with a slew of new devices every single year. At least on the Android side, you have a slew of devices, but then you also have the iPhone that's updated every single year. And while some people may think that the iPhone every single year is just another iteration with small improvements here and there, it still shows that the brand is very much alive and very much changing with the times and keeping up to date with everything that's going on. Whereas Microsoft has not done that. And
no,
I understand they wanted to say, all right, we're going to wait for Windows 10 to be launched so that we can get Windows 10 on these devices. We're not going to do Windows 8 or 8.1 anymore. We just want to focus on Windows 10. That was a mistake. They needed to do this. They should have pushed this out way sooner.
Yeah, listen, and the other thing is, guys, most people see a freaking commercial and like, oh, yeah, I like that. You know how many iPhone commercials I see over Windows Phone commercials? I can't tell you when the last time I saw a Windows Phone commercial was. Two, How do you explain?
Because Microsoft doesn't promote Windows Phone.
I'm gonna, here, let's talk about the Samsung phones and let's talk about iPhone. Everybody knows it's the iPhone 6 that's out. 6S, right? And 6S Plus. Everybody knows that Samsung has their Galaxy S line. These are simple names to follow. What the hell's a 950?
I don't know.
What does that mean? I wouldn't know if it's the 850 or 950 or 750 if I was just an average person walking into a store. Those numbers mean nothing to me.
Which one of those is the newest?
That means nothing to me. It's a bad marketing thing to do these crazy numbers. I can't follow what's better.
But then again, you know, it's just that brilliant Microsoft marketing.
You know, let's also skip numbers too, so on top of that. But listen, I hope they do well because I really, really like Windows Phone. I really, really like Windows Phone.
They've got to prove themselves, I think.
Yeah, I don't
know.
That's
where they're at, is that this is great that they finally do this, but this is something they should have done a year ago. And because they didn't do that a year ago, they're pretty much written off by the majority of people.
Yeah. Hey, John, let's move on. Let's talk about Amazon and what they're reportedly planning on building.
Sure.
According to Bloomberg,
doing it or am I doing it?
I'm doing it. According to Bloomberg, okay. Amazon is considering an online TV service that broadcasts live content and includes programming from major players like CBS and NBC. It's going to be, they reported, streaming media blog also posted a similar story yesterday, noting that Amazon has been talking to multiple players in the content space, in the content world, to find out how much it would actually cost to license their, you know, these things. I'm interested in this because we're not seeing anybody else doing really live programming in that sense, but Amazon is really getting aggressive in the streaming platform because they've also, story came out that they're reportedly pulling Apple TV and Chromecast from
they're
from
not
the
reportedly
store.
Doing that. They are doing that.
Yeah, they're reporting. They're taking it off the Amazon store.
But there's multiple reasons for that.
Well, they're competing with them, obviously.
But there's also the issue of in-app purchases, and Amazon has Amazon payments, and because both Google and Apple take 30% from every single in-app purchase, it doesn't make sense for Amazon to necessarily support those platforms.
Roku, however, will still be up on the Amazon store, so you can still buy a Roku.
Yep.
But you cannot buy an Apple TV or a Chromecast. Talking about Roku, Roku has a new Roku 4 now. It's now doing 4K. Do you like this? I mean, it's fine. It looks okay. You can find your remote.
That's another iteration.
You can find your remote and ships for $129.
Yeah, it's a flatter, wider set-top box that supports 4K, has a remote locator button right on the device, which is really cool, and an updated OS and redesigned app that makes it easier to travel with your favorite shows. What's weird about this is that it's not replacing any existing Roku devices.
Yeah,
they're still going to sell all the Roku devices that they have out right now. They're actually pricing this more expensive than Roku's before at $129. It's shipping this month, but it's just weird that it's not replacing any existing product, I think.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you have a 4K TV, go ahead and buy this. If you don't have a 4K TV, you don't really need to buy this because there's no...
No, but it's funny because we've seen a slew of devices come out for your TV. The Chromecast had a new Chromecast come out.
Yeah.
We had a new Fire TV come out that supports 4K. The Roku supports 4K, the new one. But, oddly enough, the new Apple TV does not support 4K.
It does not. Mm.
So they're the odd ones out. However, one of the things I was really hoping with the new Roku and the new operating system is that they would have refreshed and updated their interface.
The UI, yeah.
And they really haven't. They tweaked it, but it's not redesigned. Much like the Fire TV and Apple TV. The Apple TV looks great. The Fire TV looks great. Roku, it's great that it's got a lot of apps and stuff, but that interface is just awful.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the interface, but you know, most people don't care. They just go and they click on Netflix and they're done. They're out of there. I don't think it's, you know, for me, I have no reason to get a 4K. Box because I don't have a 4K TV.
It's just marketing at this point. That's all that is. Hey, we've got 4K support.
Yeah. And you know what? I guarantee you, Apple will do it next year, and everybody will be equal.
I think, you know, honestly, I think out of the three devices, Apple TV, Roku, and Fire TV, I think Roku is near the bottom.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about capability-wise.
I'm not a big fan of that. Yeah, it's got a lot of apps, but it's I still feel like the Roku is clunky compared to the Fire TV and Apple TV.
Yeah. All right. I don't know. Listen, I like the Apple TV, so I'm going to pick one up. The Fire TV is my all-time favorite right now. I love my Fire TV. But I'm going to pick up the Apple TV and see how that goes.
Yeah, I think the Apple TV is worth checking out.
Yeah.
I think the new Fire TV is great. I'm not sure about the Roku, though. I just don't know that they've done enough change with the Roku 4 to make it justifiable over the current Roku 3.
Yeah. All right, John. That was a lot of fun. We spoke about all these different things. We spoke about tech. We spoke about Rokus, your hatred for them. All these different things we spoke about. Hey, guys, before we go, I want to thank everybody for tuning in, of course. You can catch us live on GFQLive.tv each and every week. Also, you could download us where everywhere podcasts are available. If you want to help us out, you want to support the network, you could do so by using our Amazon link. Go to bookmark Amazon, GFQ.co/Amazon. That's GFQ.co/Amazon. Bookmark it. And whenever you're making a purchase, we got a tiny little credit. Guess what? The holidays are here, so every bit counts. You can follow John on Twitter at Suncast. You can follow me at Andrew Zarian. John, anything you want to plug? You doing anything?
I was on the Go to Geek podcast this week, which should be posted sometime soon. So I'll have that on my Twitter and Facebook whenever Steven gets around to posting it. He's got to edit it and all that stuff. But it was a fun time being on the Go to Geek podcast. And I hope to do it again soon.
Excellent. Excellent. All right, guys, that's it for this week. Have a wonderful weekend, and see you all later. Bye-bye.